fluffy bread,
classic burger buns,
and so many carbs. Carb fear is real.
But Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously, great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.
All right, welcome to Just Wanna Quilt, a research podcast about all things quilting and a little bit of copyright and a little bit of entrepreneurship, but mostly about copyright and sometimes even a little bit about kittens. Today, yes, we're going to talk a little bit about kittens. Today, our guest is Maddie Curte, who's been on our show before. She is the owner of Badass Quilting Society. This is... This was a huge group on Facebook, like 30,000. And then one day during COVID, Maddie shut it down. And now she's starting it again. And so we're learning about kind of what happens when that happens. So we're going to talk to her about that and all kinds of things. I think I am excited for you to see to chat with her. We've had her on the show before. Go listen to her early episodes if you want or not. And sit back and let's hear from Maddie.
I'm Maddie Curte and I'm in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Awesome. And we've talked many times and you were part of our, of all kinds of things. You've just always been such a lovely human and you are a lovely human on many levels. But with our show, you've been so kind. So we're kind of saying hi to people we haven't talked to for a while. And so I wanted to sort of first take you back to 2019, this time in 2019, and tell us sort of what was your life like at that moment?
Oh, gracious. Yeah. That's like way back in the time machine.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, you know, so much has changed since COVID. So that's, you know, of course, COVID is, you know, was 2020.
That's right. So what we're trying to do is get a sense of like, as we came in, like, you know, that year of 2019 into 2020 before COVID happened, sort of, you know, what is the world looking like to you? And then how does it shift with COVID? And now what does it happen now? That's really the kind of understanding this arc of our world at the moment. That's what we're really looking at.
So, you know, we were actually as Badass Quilter Society and myself, we were like actually working toward doing a regional / national event. I was talking to hotels, I was getting bids, I was getting very close to signing a contract. And then, of course, you know, the rumblings started happening.
Yeah.
You know, you started listening out there in the world because things were going, there was problems as there always are in, you know, when you were working your way through like this kind of institution that is the quilting and sewing world. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were always problems but we had a really huge momentum. We had 30,000 members. But things just, they came to, you know, kind of a screaming halt in some ways. I was very lucky, whether intuition or whatever, I did not sign the contract.
Interesting.
And which was really good because I would have been on the hook for $50,000.
Oh my God. That's so right stressful. Off
that. Doing national conferences is incredibly expensive.
Right. Well, you talk about that, Maddie. It's so funny that you say that. I want to hear more of your story. But, you know, we had started to look into having a Just Wanna Quilt event at Tulane because we could get it really cheap. We could get the dorms for really cheap and then we could have kind of this like celebration event, whatever. And it didn't matter how many came and it was like this whole thing. And we had started getting serious about like, were we going to do this event? And so it's interesting that you were planning an event because it was like, no, we didn't, you know, it just all shifted in this crazy way, you know?
It did. Yeah. And you never knew when it was coming back. And even I think that energy extends to now because at this point it's very hard to get event insurance.
Yeah.
Event insurance is very, very, very expensive now, if not like absolutely out of the reach of like all but the biggest companies.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we get a huge another wave through or something like that, you're totally stuck. And so that really scares me as I move forward. and leads to a lot of industry hesitancy. Now, I do see companies, I do see places overcoming that and going ahead and forging forward, and more power to them.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh gosh. And I think mine is shifted because, of course, early 2020, I got COVID. Yeah. I got an early adopter case and got very, 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 very
ill. You did. And how early on was it that you got sick?
Late March of 2020.
Wow. So you were
right about now.
So is my assistant. She got very sick, very quickly, and was very much. And she has long. I think she has long COVID. I mean, she's struggling. It's interesting to sort of see that, like, yeah, we were still at school. You know what I mean? Everything was still like happening, because I remember that there was like this worry of exposure. Because I had seen her, and stuff had not shut down yet, you know?
So I had just gotten back from, I had taken my oldest daughter, and we had actually gone to Universal Studios.
Oh my goodness.
And cause I had taken her, she'd had a big breakup, and I was like, I'm just going to take you to go Harry Potter, which is against, of course, again, something I wouldn't do now. Cause you know, the whole Harry Potter thing, right. But at the time, so that's like, there's like so many dynamic changes over this period of time. It's just like, you look back and you're like, wow, it really was a different world. And well, it's definitely not like a world war thing, because we really don't know for our, like, you know, in our home base. It is definitely like this line, this very fat line in the sand, where there was before COVID, and you can't really say it's after COVID now, because I mean, I just had COVID again 3 weeks ago. You know, not near as bad this time, obviously, but it's not gone by any sort of imagination. So that really changed. And so during that period, you know, you go from 2019, I changed my whole health during that period of time. I maintained it, but then again, the COVID totally messed that up, long COVID messing with all my, the endocrine system and everything like that. So I had lots and lots of health concerns and, I closed Badass Quilter Society.
Explain why you closed it.
Gosh, you know what? I probably hit some sort of emotional wall if I, you know, looking back on it at this point. And I was tired of beating my head actually against that wall.
Yeah.
And, as much as I tried to clarify, I spent so much time, especially since there were 30,000 people in there of every time I wrote, every time I did everything, there were people who were like, this is horrible. I don't know. You know, I'm like, why did you join?
Right. It's the name. Why? Like, how could you not know? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I know.
It's bizarre.
It's like I've ever hidden it under a barrel that I am like aggressively politically liberal.
Right.
I mean, Christ.
It's true.
No. And I got tired of it because, you know, in the industry, you become a pariah. You're not, I mean, where everybody else is being given, you know, not that I want free stuff, but like everybody's like, you've been giving, you know, who have way less people are given, you know, opportunities and business things, stuff like that, because they're keeping their mouth shut.
Yeah.
And even though they'll come to me in the background, and even quilting companies or quilting brands will come to me and say, we totally support you, but we can't work with you.
Right. And I think it's so funny that you say that. Well, first of all, it sort of makes me think about growth, because everybody wants to be you, right? They want to have 30,000 followers, but they don't know sort of what that entails. So I think that's interesting. And then the other is that, like, it was funny during Black Lives Matter. So we had very interesting, you know, people call me when they're in trouble, right? That's when I hear from them. And so when Black Lives Matter happened, there were a number of companies that called to say they didn't know what to do, because they didn't want to not put out a statement, but they didn't feel like they could. And I think that must be what you're talking about with your company and with your business, because it's so overt that they're afraid of losing their conservative listeners or viewers or customers. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, as a business, I get it that that's their right to do. And so be it. So I had to be able to generate another form of income for the amount of hours I was putting in. Yeah. And there was just, you know, a point where I was like, I could go work at Home Goods and, you know, my work an 8-hour shift and then not have to think about this when I got home, and to have 45 horrible nasty emails in my email in the evening. And so I literally went one day, said I was going to close it, and then I clicked the button on Facebook and killed 30,000 people.
Wow, that's really brave. That's like a thing, you know? That's a lot.
You know, it was. I mean, and so I sat with that for a while. Yeah. And it was really weird because you have this identity thing, you know, that's who you've been for this amount of time. You know, I might be the person who also does kittens, and I might be also the person who does, you know, other stuff. But that was very central to my identity. And so that was very interesting to process through that way. And, but it was good. It was good. And it's I kind of really hoped there was something to stand up.
Yeah. I think let's just go back to that other thing of the notion of income. What's interesting about these spaces is, are they entrepreneurial? Are they about community building? Like, what? Why are you doing what you're doing? And I think I felt like I had an identity crisis with Just Wanna Quilt with that as well on a number of levels. But it was like, I think that COVID and being in the house for a year and a half, it really does shift kind of like, why do you do certain things, right? There's kind of a taking stock. Did you feel that as well?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, you kind of like, you know, it's not like, you know, when you lose somebody, they talk about like, you know, your stages of grief. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that there are when there were stages of grief and resolution and figuring out and stuff like that. And as much as, you know, I feel very much called to do this, I also don't feel called to do it for free.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
I'm not just because, I mean, because honestly, the fact is that there was no man who would do what I do for free.
That's really interesting. I think that that's fascinating. I don't know. That's you making, I feel like it's a therapy session. I'm not sure why I do what I do. I think I like the learning process of it. I like understanding what's happening in the world, and it's a way to do that. I think that as it started to get more about being monetized for me, like, do you want to sell this or do you want to do this? I felt less interested in it. And I think that it because it became a chore in a way that I didn't want it to be. And then we made money and I don't know, it was just a lot. Like, I don't know. I know that sounds really dumb, but this was supposed to be my happy place of not having to deal with that. Does that make sense? Like, it was.
Well, but you have a job.
I have a full-time job. Yes,
you
exactly.
have a job.
That's right, so exactly.
That was different than your 100%. Passion.
Yes, 100%. And it was also always part of the research that I was doing, so that it's felt always very odd to me. I mean, we're selling books. We do stuff. We make money. We like money. I love money. But when there was this kind of pressure with the podcast and with other things of like, we do put ads on it now, but there's this notion of how much of an entrepreneur you're going to be and how much are you doing the part you like. And I think that gets, I mean, you're very good at what you do. And so, you know, and I think that you approach things, I think it's kind of flipped for you. Badass Quilters was a monetizing thing, but then your kittens aren't, right? You're not monetizing kittens.
I don't monetize kittens.
Right.
And so that's, and I have to be very careful not to, actually. Yeah. I have to, because, I mean, because I do teach classes and I do and I have the Kitten Fight Club.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I like do, and people see it all the time, is it's a kind of a weird juxtaposition, but 10% of all of our profits go to neonatal kitten rescue from babies.
Right.
So that's one of the things that helps me make sense of why I'm making money.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I really need
it goes
need
to what you
money.
Care about. Right.
It does go to what I care about. And that's it also goes to, you know, being able to, you know, give money to causes and different stuff.
That's
like
right.
That.
Money is good, and money. I like money a lot. So don't get me wrong. It was just more.
Oh yeah,
of a,
no.
I think
but
because
it helps
people
you keep
got
them away.
Confused as to what we were, and so there was this notion of. I just think that I got confused, or maybe others sort of, you know, they. I don't know. We're just it's an identity crisis. I don't think we're totally fully out of it at this point, but that's okay. We'll muddle on. Okay, so you close it. What do you do after you hit that button? What did you do? What was the next thing you did? Like, that's a big moment. Do you like...
You say, holy shit.
I know.
I mean, I did that because it doesn't come back. You can't have it back once you do it. And I thought, well, what if I ever do want it back? And everybody's like, no, don't kill it. Just like, you know, just let it sit, let it marinate, let it whatever. And I was like, no, I've got to let this go because I got to figure out who I am. I got to figure out where I want to be in this. And honestly, I really hope that there was going to be other people who would step up.
Yeah.
And there, I mean, and there are some people out
yeah,
there.
There's no one like you, Maddie. I mean, you are such a force. And I think, like, there's, you are such a voice and such a force that I admire you tremendously. And I love the work that you do, both kittens and badass quilters. But I think that there's something about you that is really hard to replicate. Does that make sense? Like, I think it is more than just you care. And that comes through on everything you do. I think that matters.
I absolutely do care, because I know that person who gets the side eye when they go into a quilt shop.
Yeah.
Or who, you know, and it's really funny because during all that period of time, it's been more recent, but I joined the TikTok world.
Yeah.
After going, oh, those crazy dancing kids.
Right.
Finally, I did. And it's the voices that I hear over there. And the things that they can't walk into their local quilt shop. And they're like, that's why I shop at, that's why I shop at Joann's. I know it's fabric, but they don't give me the side eye.
No, they're kind. Yeah, I get that.
They don't care who I am. She says, even if they don't make me feel unwelcome.
Yeah,
there.
I get that. I really do.
And they'll say, I know it's crap fabric. You know, but that's what I can get, or I shop online, you know, and there's a lot of voices over there. I mean, and you know, the truth of the matter is, if one's going to be totally blunt, I mean, I see this because, I mean, you know, my youngest daughter is trans and I see, and I have learned and grown. So, I mean, I've always been somebody, I mean, as both my parents spin in their urns, somebody from the get-go who's been very liberal and to their chagrin, I mean, they're like, where did we go wrong?
Yeah.
And I'm like, sorry guys, that's the way that rolled. But you know, I have learned so much from my daughter. I have learned so much about the community and about so many things from her that I might not have learned as quickly.
Yeah.
Hopefully I would have learned, but I you know, you take you have a trans kid, a gay kid, a non-binary kid, you know, or who's on the spectrum or whatever, you know, it's your baptism by fire if you choose to be that parent. Now, of course, there's parents who don't choose to be that parent.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you are that person and you bring that into your business sphere.
Yeah.
And the honest to God truth is that I had the ability to do that because I knew whatever was ever going to happen is that my husband has been here to support us.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think that there's a lot of fear there for a lot of people who own their small business and they don't have a spouse who's taking up the difference.
Right.
And so they stay very quiet because losing, depending on where you live, you could lose 50 to 70% of your business.
Yeah. So interesting. I think about that. I think this notion of like, the world just changed. I think about like what I haven't really talked about this in much, but it felt like frivolous for me. I mean, some people quilted like we talked to Jenny Lyon and like quilting saved her. Like she was just quilting and like, you know, doing stuff. And that was super great. I think for me, I felt like it was just too frivolous for me, like for my brain. Like I just wrote. I wrote so many, I mean, I wrote articles and books and books and books and like, I just kept like feeling like I had to be doing something that was that, like that's my safe space, you know, writing has always been my safe space. And it was interesting to feel like we all reacted so differently. And I think the idea that you shut it down, that you, and it was not a safe space politically either. Like we're forgetting very quickly how volatile and how weird. I mean, we had like Nazis invade Just Wanna Quilt at one point, right? Like it was just like, it was brutal. And I can see why you would want to not have that space during that. You know what I mean? Like, I can see.
And it was because, I mean, in the best world, I would have wanted it to be a safe space. But honestly, with 30,000 people, there was no way, because Facebook doesn't really want it to be a safe space.
Yeah.
Facebook, the way it's set up, they love controversy. Because that's click, that's churn, that's all those things.
Yeah.
And so between people saying horrible things to other people online, and even if I had, you know, a couple administrators helping me, we could not keep up with that.
Yeah, that's brutal.
And it's so toxic to you.
It's so toxic to your day. It isn't like you just deal with, at least for me, I just was like, why do I want to spend my time doing this, right? Like it gets, you know. Okay,
it
so
is,
you shut it down.
I did it. And yet I did it again.
I know. This is what we got to get to the rest of the story. So you shut it down.
Yep.
You did other things. You're like redoing your house. It's amazing. And you've got a lot of kitten. You deal with the sickest little kittens. And you're so, I mean, we did kitten rescue for a long time with my kid. We were not the first, we were not at your level, but there was a lot of sickness and death, and it was like a thing, you know what I mean? Like, these kittens don't all make it.
No.
And so spending your time there on the sickest of the kittens mm-hmm. is pretty remarkable. That's got to be just a lot, you know?
And that, you know, and that was my cathartic place. That was where I could definitely give back and do, because kittens didn't stop because of COVID.
Right.
In fact, I suspect that more people found kittens because they weren't at work.
Interesting.
They were different things, because we would have them found out on hiking trails. We would have, I mean, because people were out.
Right.
Because the only thing you could theoretically do, I mean, now, mind you, I live in the South, so people, you know, they still went every place. I mean, but a lot of people were still out. So we had, you know, just hundreds of kittens, and I do neonatals. And so that was my cathartic place. So I really dived into that, doing a lot of that. And then just, you know, did, you know, like I said, you know, just like you said, stuff around the house and kept busy. And then of course, within there, you know, my husband had his accident and broke his whole pelvis, shattered his whole pelvis.
I didn't know about this part.
That was a big one. He shattered his whole pelvis and broke his hip. And so that was really a year of our life.
That's a lot. That's really a lot.
Putting him back together, putting Humpty Dumpty
that's really
together
a lot.
Again.
So much, you know?
Yeah. And once he was better, I kind of started, you know, just kind of noodling around the idea, because I, you know, there just wasn't anything out there on the landscape that had popped up in the quilt world.
Yeah, no, it hasn't. I mean, that's what's so interesting about it, right? It's so fascinating. So you have rebooted.
Yes.
I have seen that people are, I feel like we rebooted too. We forgot to post into 2022, which tells you kind of just, that's weird. just like, I'm like, what? Really? So tell me about the reboot. Because we see rebooting happening. Isn't it Modern Society has rebooted their podcast? We are kind of rebooting. Tell us about the reboot of Badass Quilters.
You know, it's basically a true doubling down, but it's a doubling down in a different way, because honestly, it's an incredibly hard place now, like on Facebook, to grow a community.
Yeah.
That part is so different.
Yeah,
it is,
right?
It's absolutely different. Very, very difficult. So, and I don't even really think, although we have a Facebook page, like Facebook would not allow me to register Badass Quilter Society
anymore.
That was
just so funny, right?
So
that
now it has like it has funky underscores in it, and running the words together in a weird way, it makes it very hard to find that way. But they just absolutely wouldn't let me. I had some old dead pages, but they won't let me reactivate them.
That's so interesting.
And they said because it was, you know, offensive language.
Yeah.
I appealed and appealed and didn't work. And then finally I basically schnookered them by putting some letters together in a weird way.
Yeah, you just put dashes and they were fine with it.
I put dashes and it makes it think it's a whole word.
It's so weird.
It's not quite that smart.
So I feel like the nature of the world has changed dramatically with podcasting and Facebook. Like, you could build a community pretty easily when we started in 2018. By 2022, 2023, the world is just much more saturated. It's it's just different. Have you found that to be the case?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's funny because like places that were definitely growing, oddly enough, TikTok, we're growing faster there. I mean, not super fast. And then on Instagram, but it's nothing like it was before. And, you know, while it would be easy because you watch some people grow, you know, like just astronomical numbers by, you know, dancing with their parrot or whatever, you know. And but I'm just kind of taking it as it's really bringing in the people who really need it and who really want it.
Yeah. I mean, the irony is that you closed it because it got so big and that it was unwieldy. So maybe being more, you know, having more thoughtful people there is a good thing. But I don't know. Interesting.
It is.
And the metrics have changed interestingly too. We see some weird stuff going on behind the scenes of what counts and what doesn't count, which is super fascinating to me, you know, especially with the podcast numbers. I'm surprised by what we're seeing that doesn't make a lot of sense. But there's new metrics, I think they're doing. And I think they're doing that because advertising dollars encourage the podcasters, the platforms, to not be so like, you had so many people listen, because then they have to pay you. And so I find it's interesting that the metrics have shifted a bit, you know?
Yeah, there is. I mean, so that part's like a totally different landscape. Every bit of software that I'd used before has updated or changed.
Yeah.
So there's also this thing, and you know, and I don't think of myself as old by any means. I'm just 55.
Yeah.
But diving back in and learning all the different changes and all the different softwares.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh gosh, do I want to do this? Right. You know,
and a lot of work. It's a lot of work because
it's daunting. But I also, the flip of that is I see every day somebody says, oh my God, I did not know that there was a group out there that spoke to me.
Yeah.
I've been quilting by myself forever.
Yeah.
So now, that.
Tell me about how you used to monetize Badass Quilters and how you're doing it now. How has that shifted?
Well, there was a certain amount. Of course, Badass Quilter Society, you know, absolutely started when I had a contract with a company, and then they went in and they went through my blog, and they're like, you have to take all these posts down. You can't curse anymore. You can't do this. You can't anything. I was like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And so they were like, well, so I had already signed my contract with them, and they pulled up, they said, well, we have a moralities clause in this if you look. And so we're going to cancel your contract.
Wow.
And it was like, you know, I was like, fine.
Right.
You know,
Didn't you do any homework?
Yeah, well, I know. Well, that's why I was like, have you met me? This is my husband always says, have you met her?
Right.
I mean, you know, because they're like, you have to take all your posts about sexuality down. You have to do all these things, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you put me on the side of your building.
Right.
My face is 20 foot tall on the side of your building. Did you guys not bother reading?
Yeah.
I mean, and so, but in the end, that was okay. I mean, it was what it was. And that's really how, you know, birthed Badass Quilter Society.
Yeah.
And we've monetized different ways over different periods of time by having community, by selling merchandise, over, you know, time. The truth of the matter is that, you know, partnerships really in the quilt world don't pay work.
No,
anything.
They don't.
For the amount of what they want. They're like, you know, we want 14 blog posts, and then, you know, we'll hand you some tissue. I mean, really.
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, that was such a shock to me about how the structure of the industry was, that you can get piecework, like, you know, you can make a pattern for someone or write an article or something like that. But that's paying, you know, $200, $400, maybe $500. But it's not really sustainable on that level. And you know, free merchandise is fine, but there's a moment when you're like, enough free merchant, like, I don't need this, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's glorious. It's exciting at first, but at some point you're like, I have to get rid of more stuff, right? Like, more stuff showed up. So I don't know. It's interesting because we're like 5-6 years in now, and it's interesting space to be in. Again, not trying to be, sounds kind of arrogant. I'm not really saying that. I think it's just what you're saying is, like, it's like being a musician. You're not going to make money off of this song, but you will make money off of the t-shirt you're selling and other things. So it's the secondary markets that matter more than the sort of primary thing that you do.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah. I mean, we had a private community for about a year. And, but just keeping all of those cogs, all those plates spinning.
Yeah.
and to keep it at an affordable rate and to be able to use big fancy software for it and all that. So things just got like really, really heavy. And well, and in the end, yes, it could self-sustain, but again, it wasn't paying me. Like when I broke down how many hours a day I was working, again, I could be doing something else, or quite frankly, I could just be, you know, a kept woman.
Right.
I mean, you know, exactly. I could be, you know, quilting on my long arm and enjoying myself and doing stuff like that, you know, and just, and donating to big causes or doing something else. So, so, I mean, in the kind of the reincarnation, I mean, I know that it's not going to be, generally speaking, it's not going to be companies. I mean, I can do, like affiliate marketing and stuff like that for different products because it doesn't really, it doesn't tie the name too much, because if they have an affiliate marketing program, technically, whoops, where did you go?
Hold on a sec. Hold on one second. It was husband. Ron came home. It's so nice. It's so funny when people leave and come back. It's so nice to see them. Okay, so I interrupted you. I'm sorry about that. I thought it was the dogs.
But oh, no worries.
A human. Humans are better than like weird noises that dogs are making.
Oh, well, believe me, I've got four of them back behind me right now who are wandering around my office, so I totally get that.
Yeah. You're like, if that's a dog, there's something really bad going on, you know?
Yeah, yeah, no. Ours have a very different tone. There's, we call it, there's like the squirrel tone versus the tone somebody's trying to get in the house. It's a totally different bark. It's a totally
different. And I was like, what is going on? But it just turned out Ron's home. Okay.
Good deal.
Excellent. So, right. So monetizing, how did the, so subscriptions are saturated now too, but you were early on this, on that. How was that? And was that enough to make it, you said it wasn't enough to make it worth it. That's what we were kind of at.
Yeah. It really wasn't enough to make it work to pay myself enough after doing all the software, all the other stuff, amount of work that needs, because it's like totally you're tap dancing all the time.
Yeah.
Because it's a continued need to create content for a group of people who deserve something. Obviously they're paying monthly or annually or whatever for that. Although what the one thing it did teach me, because I think even bad experiences teach you a lesson. And my big lesson is that I will, if I do a subscription thing again, I will never do an annual rate. Everybody loves a deal, but because then you're tied to producing that thing, that annual.
It's just a lot. It's really a lot, you know?
It is a lot. And we are now in a time when, you know, you can get COVID and be sick and maybe not get better or whatever, you know? So, and if it's month to month,
to produce
it's a month to month. Yeah, you all you have to do is get your
tiny bit of money that like it's not worth it, but now you've got the obligation.
You do have the obligation to produce content through that year. So when we closed down, I had to go back and refund.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot.
I had to go back and refund people, and so luckily I held money because I had talked to a friend. She's, and that was her big lesson also. Is that because she'd had to close something down and she said, make sure you have enough money in reserve to fulfill out your contracts to people each month. If you don't sell any more annuals, then you can start attritioning that money down, you know, as your month goes on. So that was a big lesson learned there. But honestly, the thing that makes us overall the most is merchandise, is Badass Quilter merchandise, because and people really love that, being able to wear that, really identification.
And then do you do it, you buy the merchandise and then ship it out? You're not doing it print on demand, t-shirts or anything like that, right?
I am right now as we've restarted up. Previously, I did not. I did everything by, we would do pre-orders.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I did not want 50 boxes of sweatshirts in my house.
I
did not want eating on the sweatshirts.
Yeah.
You know, throw a tablecloth over them and call them, you know, the table.
Right, exactly.
I didn't want, there was a certain amount of things that we did have that were like our standards that I did, you know, of, and, but otherwise, because we had getting the right sizes and stuff like that, because
it turns out
Badass, I mean, as far as Badass Quilters go, 1X and 2X and 3X are our biggest selling sizes.
Yeah, I get that.
So, and we are very, very dedicated to size inclusion. So when at now I have to be very careful to pick brands that go up through 5X.
Interesting. And so and where so, did you decide, because there's a lot of print on, again, everything has shifted in this crazy way. When we started, it was super simple. Now it's not. So where did you decide to do print on demand?
I am doing it through Printful and Printify, both of those. There are other ones out there, and it just depends on the product.
We did print, and then you did Printful, and what was the other one?
Printify.
And what's the difference between them, do you find? Why are you using both?
You know what? Advantages and disadvantages based on product and selection. Right. And then what we're finding now is that there are still, they have like times where like colors, they just can't get colors because there are still markets that have not really recovered as far as supply markets go. And so sometimes I have to switch because all of a sudden they'll be like, well, you picked Heather Blue for these and there's 6 outstanding orders and we can't fulfill those orders for you.
Yeah.
So it does have its own headaches.
And it's great. I mean, we did that for a number of events and it was so nice because people could go in and choose exactly what they wanted and it was great. And you don't get as much money back from it, but it's fine. Yeah. But you also don't have the hassle, you know, like that.
You don't have the hassle. And especially for things like mugs, because I do not want to be putting out ceramic mugs because ceramic mugs break way more than you'd want, so that they take care of that part for me. Yeah. So yes, I make less money, but honestly, it was a really great way to start back up without having a really deep financial investment.
Yeah, hugely. It's really quite lovely. Yeah.
So we just started selling stickers because stickers are huge. Oh my gosh, it's just kind of crazy. So we kind of dived in deep with stickers. Now those stickers we actually have. I have them printed at our sticker manufacturer and I work really closely and we have those in house. We just released the first really big batch just yesterday. In fact, today over 500 stickers went out of the house.
Amazing. Today. That's so crazy.
So it was fun because we've branded up and new logos and new.
Stickers. If they're listening and they're like, I want to see these stickers, where do you go for stickers?
Yeah. So you go, the easiest way is to go to badassquiltersociety.com and just hit the merch link from there.
Yeah.
And it takes you into the store. And so we upload new stickers. And the nice part about that is that we produce some of those as t-shirts and bags and different stuff like that is because people really want to identify. And the nice part is we get these amazing stories of people who see somebody with a bag or they carry their bag and somebody goes, oh my gosh, you know, I've been looking for something like that. Or they know each other. It's like your high sign, you know, at a quilt show that, you know, it's a badass quilter.
Interesting. And you're using Big Cartel for your platform. We use that for the books. Which is good.
I am using Big. It's a very simple platform.
Yeah, it is simple, but it's great, you know?
It is. It's very clean. It's very easy. Previously, I have also used Shopify because there are really more apps you can hook up to that. And when it's more difficult to do like my wholesaling, because there are certain shops that we consider badass certified.
Yeah.
And that we do produce stuff for. So, because like with Printify and whatever, I can have a certain amount of shirts sent and dropped over to a shop.
Okay, so I'm at your shop, and what I think is really interesting and cool, you have to talk to us about this because I think it's fascinating. So you're doing three things. You have some at the house, some at Printful, and some at Printify. It doesn't look like that when you go to your website. It looks like you go to the mugs, and it just says add to cart. And so what's happening behind the scenes? Someone checks out and buys it, it's not going to, like, how does that work exactly? Does that make sense?
There's lovely magic in the background that those lovely coding people have done. And so it's really interesting the way it works too, because, and of course there's different ways you can set it up based on how you want to do it. So if it's a mug, almost always it's going to go to Printful, because Printful does a really great mug and they do our 15-ounce mug. But if I need like a specialty mug or something different that like really calls to something different, I might have to do it with something different. But we use our white ceramic mug from Printify. So anybody who orders, they click. So maybe if they order a couple different things, they've ordered a bag, they've ordered a t-shirt, and they've ordered stickers.
Right.
Well, the bag and the t-shirt zip off to the demand printer. the main printer does those and then ships them to the customer. Then the other part of the order comes to me, and then I fulfill the stickers or the luggage tags or whatever else.
Okay, you've just like inspired me, because this always seemed completely impossible, but you are doing it.
And it's not me. I would love to say, oh, I'm magic, but no, I'm not. It is absolutely them. And so far, it has been pretty flawless.
That's amazing. And that's your Big Cartel, that they're able to integrate.
Yes.
All of
yes,
that.
Big Cartel can integrate those. Like I said, if there's other things that you wanted to do that were a little more fancy, because what I really wanted to do is, and where we're having to switch software around, unfortunately, for, is to do a subscription model.
Yeah.
Because with PayPal does not allow you to integrate with Big Cartel to do a subscription model easily. There's some code that it's kind of clunky.
Yeah.
But you can get Stripe and hook Stripe up.
Yeah.
Which some people are like, well, I want to use my credit card. Well, you can actually use a credit card with PayPal.
Stripe. Yeah.
But Stripe just shows you like the little icons of the MasterCard and stuff like that. But with PayPal, you actually can. You can just say check out as guest and it'll push you into your own credit card.
Yeah.
And people just don't necessarily know that. But I also like it for people who Shopify, because like Shopify allows you to use like Bitcoin and stuff like that. That's not my thing.
Yeah.
And I don't want to learn. That's something I don't want to learn about.
Yeah.
I will change my mind in 10 years or whatever. But right now, my poor little head has enough to get through.
Okay, so I'm totally like way too into your shop, so that's dangerous now that I actually know how to do it. And we want to make our own, and I want to see experience it, so that's super groovy. And then
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Where do you get your designs? Like, are you making them? Where are the designs
coming from? I am making them. I'm doing all of the art. I used to do a lot of art for different projects and different people. Uh-huh. And back when because before the whole quilting thing became a thing, I was an embroidery designer.
Oh.
And I did lots of stuff for companies. I worked for Ford. I worked for different stuff like that. Getting the Ford gig was pretty funny, because they had ordered a hillion jillion kinds of hats, of this one kind of hat that had a very weird weave on the front of it. And their current design did not set well on the hat in the weave. And so they needed it redone, and somebody knew somebody who knew me. And so I got to work for Ford, which was really funny. That was funny. So I got to punch their logo for all of their Southern state hats, because they needed these special trucker hats. Of course they did.
I love it.
But I love doing the art. If I was going to like shut down right now, if I would say, you know, throw this all to the wind, that's what I would do for people. Because I love doing it. In fact, I've had a couple people, I've actually in between this, I've designed a couple things for different other people, who've like sent something off to Fiverr, and there could be great people at Fiverr. I mean, you know, you can get stuff done there, but they couldn't get what they want. And so I got to shop them and did it. And I'm like, okay, you're going to donate some money to the kittens. And they're like, how much? I said, I want 5 things of formula. You know what I mean?
Right. Formula.
Go into my Amazon.
So do you actually also do take commission? If people are listening, do you take commissions on designs and logos and things like that?
I do sometimes. It just kind of depends if I really think that if the people I've worked with so far who have been friends or people who I know and that we jive together well, you know, because I don't have to do it. It's because I love doing it. In fact, I like at night, I'll sneak up here and work.
Yeah.
And my husband's like, you're at the computer again. You said you wouldn't be at the computer again. You need to get up.
Yeah.
because I love doing it. I love playing in Photoshop. I love doing that part of it. And it's fun. And that whole world has changed, because even 3 years ago, working with sticker manufacturers, you know, you were emailing back and forth or whatever, and then they would scan a proof. Now it's seamless. It's really seamless in the way it works.
Very interesting.
So I like it. And I like really being able to, so like our three logo stickers that are up there, the one with the, we have the fierce unicorn, right, and then this has a snake, and then the one that has the rainbow.
Yeah.
Because we have so many diverse badass quilters. So badass quilters gather because they're politically liberal.
Yeah.
But they're not gathering because they're all hand stitchers, or they're all, right, you know,
right,
there's so many, right, different kinds,
it's the
of people.
The politics that align them, not the type, not the word.
It is. It's not the type of quilting, because somebody says, "Oh, well, you know, I'm a, you know, a colonial quilter or whatever, you know," yeah, and I'm like, "Great, there's a place for you if you are a liberal colonial quilter."
Yeah.
So I've gone to making more things that resonate in a different way with people, and it's been very fun since we just dropped this new collection, seeing what they buy and how they curate different stuff. Yeah. That's been very fun.
I like that a lot. Okay, well, I have a personal problem that I'm going to talk to you about, which is that I'm trying to find these stupid pins for my work to make something look cute. And no matter what we do, they look really dumb. So we'll have to talk off once we get done, because I want like little adorable pins that will, mm-hmm, people will be so proud of the program that we have. Mm-hmm. And every time I turn them into places, they're just like, but your stuff, I mean, that's the part that's so cool about it is, the goal of it is like, you'd be like, oh, I want that one. I want that one. Like, that's the whole goal. And you have such a nice variety here of stuff.
It's fun. What my thing is, do you know who Donald Miller is? He owns the company Story Brand.
No.
So his thing is really about making
Story Brand.
So he has a new book out, and his big thing that I did previously was called the Story Brand. Uh-huh. And his thing, he talks about making your customer the hero. Your customer is your hero, yeah, and you're just a guide. And so I want people to really to be able to identify with what they see, and they say, that's so me.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
And that's what I see when people make their sticker orders already, because I can even kind of guess. So if somebody's somebody who picks like if they pick the unicorn, you know, I can kind of guess which other stickers they're going to pick generally. Yeah. And there's like kind of tracts that go down. We have one group in there. It's basically all the stickers, and it's called the Full Monty.
Uh-huh.
And that's all the stickers. And we've sold a lot of those, but I think I'm going to make kind of like other tracts within there. I've been like keeping a little spreadsheet to see, you know, kind of how all that breaks down. So that's just been, it's like kind of like one of those little rabbit holes.
I like it. I like it a lot. Well, I just adore you and think you're
so clever
and awesome. And can you just keep coming back and playing with us? I just think it's so cool.
Of course. I mean, I just think having diverse voices out there and what you're doing is so amazing, because I think it really changes quilters to feel empowered about what they're doing, and also to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Because not all of them really know what the right thing is.
It's hard to find information, and it's hard to understand. It's hard to find your way in this world. I think it's complicated, you know?
You need a guide.
You need somebody to ask the dumb question.
You need somebody that's a guide so you can be your own hero.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I know it.
Well, very cool. And we are also working on, we have just turned the manuscript in again for Flow. I've learned what Flow is. Do you know what Flow is? I learned about that.
I do not know what Flow is.
They put all the text and the images in, and then you're supposed to send it back with just like the tiniest corrections. Say that I'm trying to hide out from the editor at the moment, because these are not going to be tiny corrections, you know.
You gotta be you. I mean, you know what? Because you want to be proud of what you see come out on the other.
I really do feel like I'm like trying to hide under a rock at the moment, because I was like, you know, we did all of it. We've gone through all these drafts and everything. And then when it came back, it was like, oh, it had just changed just a little bit that it was legally inaccurate. So I was like, sorry, this has to change. Like this.
Yeah, you're like, no, that. And every time I'm
like, parentheses legal, right? Like, sorry, no, legal.
Yeah, no.
So anyway, because she was like, I think it looks pretty good. What do you think? I'm like, I'll send you the draft. I'll send you my merch. Like, it's like five changes on each page. And it's like, you know, there. I don't know. There's going to be a moment of them freaking out, but I haven't gotten.
You know what? But you don't have to freak out because you're the one who knows when it's right, and you're the name that's behind it.
Right. And you know, I mean, it's going to be fine, and we can talk about each. We can decide, and it's still in that kind of. We haven't gotten to the. So you turn in the manuscript, and then you do a bunch of editing, which is fun and great. And we had a really great editor, and then. We now are in flow, which means they've put it all into this one document and there's some images, but they haven't done the check to make sure the right images are there. And we had a little bit of problems there, but not terrible. Now, then we go to design work, and Sid and I were writing the book together. My kid and I are writing the book together. So, it's been really fun to think about the design, and then we'll work with the designers. So, but yeah, it's been like the flow thing was pretty funny because they, you know, it was the contract. It was the document they sent. They said, this is not for rewriting. This is not a time to rewrite, right? That's the first sentence. But then it said, but after this, you will not be able to make any more major changes. It will only be small things. And I was like, well, that means you can make major changes right now.
So no.
It was my legal head of like, well, if they wouldn't have put that in there, you couldn't make major changes, right?
Yeah.
So we're doing the book. So we're doing a book on trademark. Just one trademark for Makers, which will come out in September. It's in pre-order already on Amazon, which is terrifying. But you are one of our trademark cohort to sort of talk about it and think about it. And so we will do that at another time, and we'll air it. But I think you are such about branding, and I'm really excited to chat with you and work with you and think about all that side of it as well. So we will do that shortly.
Well, your guidance is totally needed, wanted, and loved.
Aww. Well, I do adore you. You are my hero. And I do feel like the moment when I feel guilty about not having kittens in the house, I just go to your Amazon page and give you some money.
I encourage people to do that because I say there's a place for everybody. Just like everything else, there is a place for everybody in every movement, from checkbooks to boots on the ground.
Oh, my gosh. You know, and we did it for a long time. I was, you know, there was this moment. So they die a lot. So the kittens do die, right? They do. Not a lot, but they do. They get sick and all of that. Yep. But the first time it happened, we really didn't know what was happening. And Sid was maybe 13 at the time, young. And one of them just didn't make it, like had a bad night, right? Like was fine the first, you know, they turn fast, and we didn't know very much about anything. And I just had this bad moment of like the kitten was dead and we were late for school. And that's pretty much what I said to her. I was like, well, the kitten died in the middle of the night, but we'll deal with that. We'll have your dad deal with it. We've got to get in the car for school. And she was just like, that is not acceptable.
Anyway. She's like, this is not the way we do this.
No, we're like, we need to stop, have some, you know, talk about the life of the kitten. Like, it was all of this. And I was very much like, all right, we got to get in the car. It was so bad. So I got better at that. But I think it was just a lot. People don't really realize. They look really cute. But what you're dealing with is like the sickest of the sick, right? They are fragile, and they are so, your heart goes out to them, these little things that are struggling, and it's just a lot. It is a lot.
And I always say they are 30 minute creatures.
Yeah.
They are 30 minutes. You can, in the time that you can do laundry, you can lose
it. It was craziness.
And there are things you can do sometimes, and there are sometimes things you cannot do at all. And in fact, I taught a class this weekend on it. And I spent a good deal of time talking about loss because it's no matter how good you are going to
lose. You're gonna get lost. Yeah. And we really did learn, like I was talking to the volunteer, like I started to recognize when the kittens weren't doing well, and we would kind of swap them out, you know? So luckily Sid doesn't often listen to the podcast, but there was a real sense of like, this one's already, it's all positive, you know? So it was just like, it just couldn't be that. For me, like, she was too young to be dealing with that in a constant level, you know? So, yeah. So, but it was good. I mean, kittens are, we have a thing about from the kittens, you know, you have to get them to 2 pounds. We were the 2 pounders. We had to get them to two pounds and make them super cuddly. So their brand was like they purred no matter who picked them up, right? And so now when we help people and other things in our life, we always talk about them getting to 2 pounds. So we're like, you know, well, we just got to get this one to 2 pounds so they can go out and live their life, you know?
That's what you're getting your book to 2 pounds. You're getting everything.
Exactly. Everything is just got to get to 2 pounds. And then it'll be fine. So
it'll be fine. And I am always so thankful for the people who do that part of it, because my specialty really is the neonatal end of it. And so when done bottle feeding or being very sick, because my house is really not set up for having kittens skedaddling around. So I'm super happy for my people who are my teammates who I'm handing them off to make good cuddly kittens. Yeah. Because honestly, when they're tiny, you're not really cuddling them a lot. You're really caring for them, and you give them, of course, but you don't really cuddle them a lot.
They're not ready for it. They're just trying to see if they'll survive, you know. And that's just really what you do is really. People just don't even, the exhaustion that comes with it.
Oh, yeah.
People, I mean, we have them when they're like past your stage, but even the notion of how much you're like up, you know, the baby years, the infant years, the newborn years come back really fast. You know, you feel
like, that's what I say is that this is why 55-year-old women do not have babies. This is why you to turn off the baby maker.
Because it is exhausting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you are a hero on so many fronts, and I do adore you, and I thank you for the hour. It's really great. We will be probably posting this probably tomorrow or Wednesday. I'll let you know. We're trying to post fast because people, I just get bought. It's better that way.
I get it.
So, I'll let you know when it's up, and you're cool with us posting this. Do you need to review it?
No. Okay. Brilliant. I'm all good.
Fabulous. That's my legal thing. All right. Go forth and conquer the world because you are remarkable. And
thank you, my friend.
Thank you for everything you do. So that was Maddie. She's lovely. She has the Kitten Fight Club, which she is amazing at. And she really puts herself out there. And if you like that, and if you like her politics and what she does, go and join Badass Quilting Society. It's on Facebook, and it's cool. And if you don't, that's cool, too. It's not a big deal. But again, I'm really, really enjoy having her on as a guest, and I hope you did, too. This is Elizabeth Townsend-Gard from Just Want to Quilt, a research podcast coming out of Tulane University Law School, and I hope you get a chance to quilt today.